BBC Sounds. Music, radio, podcasts.
Hello and welcome to a little something extra from the food programme with me, Jaeger Wise. You may have listened to our rum programme, or if you haven't, you should go and listen on BBC Sounds. But in the making of this programme, we came across some interesting moments that we wanted to explore a little further. And by we, I mean myself and producer Nina Pullman. Hello, Nina.
Hi, Jaeger. Great to be here with you. So yes, we've made this programme about rum, which was your idea, really. So why did you want to look into this?
The reason why I was so interested in this story is because I keep seeing it everywhere. I keep seeing lots of new rum producers being given really, really tasty drinks. And there's been a general rumble in the UK drinks industry about rum and lots of the new producers doing really interesting things. My family are from the Caribbean, so for me, rum is part of my personal history. It's something that I have grown up with. There's always been a bottle of rum around. So for me, I really wanted to dig a little bit deeper into looking at the history of it, where it's come from, juxtaposed with what is happening in the UK in the British rum scene.
And we had some interesting moments, didn't we? Particularly when asking people what they know about this history. And I did a couple of the research calls from the programme. And when you ask about the history in the past and the links with slavery, everyone goes really quiet. Were you surprised by this reaction? What do you make of it?
I was very surprised by just how, and the word I'll use is awkward, the response was by lots of British rum makers as well as consumers when you ask the question. And it's interesting that the engagement with its past, its engagement with literally selling bottles of spirit for people, it doesn't seem to be as spoken about as you would think, considering it comes from such a strong history of enslaved people. You would think that it had, that story had more prominence in the way we speak about and talk about rum within the context of British society. So it was definitely interesting. But what's more interesting is digging a little bit deeper and finding out the reasons why that awkwardness is present, why it exists, if it should be talked about more, how they potentially could talk about it more if people chose to. So it's very interesting is the word I would use.
Yeah, I agree. I mean, I'm one of those who, you know, I really like rum. I love making a big batch of dark and stormy cocktail for everyone at a party. And, you know, I've drunk it for years and I've never really, I'm one of those people who hasn't really kind of dug that much deeper into it. So it's been so interesting to kind of find out a bit more. And I think a lot of people don't know. And like you say, when they do know, they don't really know what to say.
Yeah, no, it is very true.
You're obviously a drinks maker yourself. Do you think people should know or care about the history of drinks, and why do you like finding out about the history of drinks so much?
Realistically, lots of people consume beverages and do not care about where it comes from, its history. They are there for a good time and they're there for enjoyment. And that's part of what we do as drinks makers, is we are there to help ease the week. We are there to give some of that enjoyment. But also, lots of people are interested. People come around, certainly my brewery, and lots of distilleries and winemakers, and they want to go on tours, and they want to hear more about the producers, and they want to get to know the people that are making their drinks. And I think with that comes an opportunity to share the story, share its history, share where it's come from, its links to the Navy and rum's hopes for the future. I think it's a real opportunity.
Yeah, I agree. I think it's fascinating. I mean, you can travel all over the world and go back in time with food and drink stories, can't you? So I can't see why you wouldn't want to do that, really. Did you yourself learn anything, or, you know, what was your biggest takeaway from what we kind of found out as we went through this programme?
That's a good question. My biggest takeaway from this programme was probably actually Rumfest. I have been to a lot of trade shows in my time. It's part of the nature of the job. But the word that everyone kept associating with rum, and no matter where we went, everyone kept saying rum is fun. And it was something that just comes across so much. It is a party drink. It is a drink that you consume when you want to get up and dance. And I think that association so much with a spirit and fun is probably quite unique to rum. Different drinks do tend to have different associations with different occasions, etc. But this association with party time and rum, I just absolutely loved it. And it made me want to go out and party some more myself, to be honest.
I love that. It's a really nice kind of inclusive and sociable feeling that really comes across in that bit from Rumfest where you went round, and yeah, it's well worth listening back to. So I understand you grew up or you spent a bit of time living in Trinidad, and I wondered, you know, when you were there, did you know about Trinidad's rum kind of history when you were living there? Or, you know, were you aware of it at that time or since then?
Absolutely, yeah. So rum in the Caribbean, it's hard being in the UK to really visualise just how much rum is intertwined with normal life. So literally, if you're going around someone's house, you would bring a bottle of rum. It's seen as like a great gift or currency. Say you're at the airport and you want your bags to get through a bit quicker. If you give them a bottle of rum, it helps. So it's seen as like positive currency for gifts, for when you go around someone's house. If you want to say to someone, I appreciate you, you would give them a bottle of rum. Mm-hmm. And it's just very, very normalized, yeah. If that makes sense. The only thing I can compare it with is when you travel abroad and you take a bottle of Scotch whisky with you and you give it to someone as a gift, no matter where you go in the world, that is seen as like, oh my goodness, thank you. You've bought me one of the best spirits in the world. It's quite a similar dichotomy, if that makes any sense at all.
But that's also so interesting because in the program, Christy Pikikere was talking about how rum was used as a kind of currency, wasn't it? Back in the sort of 17th and 18th centuries. It's funny that kind of idea of it being in some form a bit of social currency is still around today. That's so interesting.
Yeah. No, yeah, it is very interesting. And I think one of the things that is quite apparent is that the plantation rum makers of yesteryear often, in lots of different cases, often are still open. So lots of them have got lots and lots of history physically embedded in slavery. And the ownership of these companies have crossed down through generations.
So one final thing, a hugely important question. What is your favourite way to drink rum?
Oh my goodness, my favourite way to drink rum, I've drunk it many, many, many away over the years. I'm quite a simple lady when it comes to drinks at times, and I really, really love just rum and ginger. Rum, ginger, lime is my drink.
Nice. That's what Ian Burrell called the, is that not the Holy Trinity or something? I'm sure he called it something like that. Maybe that's something else.
It was a sugar, rum and citrus, wasn't it?
That was it. Well, that sounds delicious. Okay, great. Well, thank you. It's been a pleasure working with you in this, and I look forward to sharing a rum cocktail with you in the future.
Thank you, Nina.
Perhaps once baby is born.
Yeah. Let's wait till then.